You know, Brother Moore said we got to say more than I love this place. We have to say what's happened on the inside here. And I thank God that I have a new birth. I thank God that He's revealed His word to me. I thank God for His protective mercies. You know, He is amazing. I love that He is in flesh. And you know, I broke my leg when I was the first 24 hours out there on vacation. I broke my fibula. But you know, I said, uh-oh, God must have someone to meet. And He sure did, because we went to the clinic and the sweetest doctor, the sweetest nurse. We got on the plane and one woman, she switched the flight so I'd have more leg room. And then another one, you know, just pushed me up. But, you know, I just, on the bus, Brother Moore, you know, I was telling him, it's just amazing how that, you know, you start talking to people, and all of a sudden they just feel for you. And I said, that's them feeling for God. And he said, we bring out the love in them. And I just appreciate that, because we have people we have to meet. All that the Father has given will come.
Yes.
And I thank God that we're strong in this body. I enjoy what we get here.
Amen.
Enjoy our brothers. Looking forward to tonight. We listened, but it's not the same. And I just wanted to say I'm proud to be here. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you this evening. Let's sing from The Only Believe, 166.
Amen.
As the Deer.
Thank you, Lord.
Happy to see my buddy Tommy in the house tonight.
Amen.
This is, if you guys don't know Tommy, his baby's the baby that we prayed for.
Well,
with that prayer cloth. And
amen.
I'm just so happy to see him in the house.
Amen.
So happy to see Brother Mike and Brother John and Don in tonight.
Amen.
It's a party now.
Amen.
As the Deer, 166, As the Deer. Yes. Is it yours? Is it courses? Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
Amen.
Amen. God bless this place.
You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship You. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to
I actually have a Brother Branham quote that I wanted to share with the body before we kick off. So,
amen.
Trying to get my time in before y'all
That's
run
right.
me off. Okay. And this is from the deity of Jesus Christ. Really good, good, good book. I highly recommend it. You read it. You ain't gonna borrow my book though. There's a bunch back there. So I'm gonna go over here to paragraph. Oh, yeah, you may be seated. I'm brutal. it's paragraph 79 here, and it says, the deity of him. Who is he? Who he is? Some of them make him a little baby back there. He is the one that stood on the invisible. Amen. Oh, my. Platform raked out of his hands and spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. That was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For he was in the world, and the world was made by him.
That's right.
And the world recognized him not. He is the deity of God.
Amen.
Look what he did back there. Talk about the miraculous back there. Amen. You talk about shouting. When he performed the miraculous things to make things which are now out of things which was not.
Amen.
He spoke and it was so.
That's right.
And that same power, that same Christ, hallelujah. Let the fundamentalists, let them people who deny the power of God say it's wrong. But that same power that spoke the world into existence is in those people that's got the Holy Ghost. And that's right. Men and women, us brothers and sisters, it's time that we found out who you are.
Amen. Amen. That'll get
like
you going.
Quote very, very much, you know. That's what's really on my heart. You know, this bride's got to know who she is.
That's right.
You know, there's only one Son of Man, not two. It came two times, but there's only one Son of Man that does the same thing as it always does. It's a deity.
That's right.
And when we speak, it's deity. You know, and the reason I'm thinking on this is a friend of mine, Kathleen, Bren's wife, you know, the devil's not wanting to come out. And Brother Bram said, you know, the devil all throws a fit when he's got to leave.
Right.
And he's throwing a fit, affecting her mind. Tumors are getting bigger. But, you know, I don't look at circumstance. I don't
Amen.
Look at what the doctors say. I look to the word, look to the promise. And that's always what Jesus did. And that's always what we do.
That's
we
right.
don't look to anything else.
Never looked at
You know,
anything.
I was thinking about Jay pretty strong this morning. And, you know, that's my brother. that's who I love. That's who I love hearing. That's, you know, he's got a job to do.
That's right.
And, you know, we don't have time for Satan
that's right.
at
Amen.
All. We don't give Satan time of day in this
That's
day.
Right.
I mean, there's no purpose for it. There's no time. You know, Brother Childers always said, just flat turn him down.
Turn him down.
You know, he's got no place. He's not even in the same picture I'm in. You know, his condemnation, and there's no condemnation
right.
on this
None.
Bride at all.
Amen.
So we're looking without hope. You know,
Amen.
We're believing in hope.
Amen.
You know, don't matter what the doctors say. Don't matter what. Well, it's going to be a long recovery and this yeah. and that and the other. We're looking for greater than that.
Yeah, that's
Our
exactly
God
right.
is greater than that.
Yeah, that's exactly
that's
right.
the doctors, you know, and you can't blame them. That's the best they can come up
that's
with.
The best.
That's right.
That's
all
what
they know.
Teaching has showed them. That's what their experience has shown them. But this is different. This is different. God's on the scene now. And, you know, I really believe that, and I want to confess that always.
Amen.
And I always believe that in my heart. He said, if you believe in your heart and don't doubt, he'll
yeah,
do
that's
it.
Right. He'll do it.
And, you know, we got the dead to get up.
Yes, we
do. So, you know, this is all leading up to that.
Amen.
You know, healing is just the children's bread.
Yeah,
healing
that's right.
is just a minor resurrection.
Minor.
Amen.
You know, that's nothing. You know, we get past that. We can easily believe for that.
That's right.
We've seen it so many times. I've seen it in my own life so many times. And I have many that need a touch that I know that come across my path. And the reason they come across my path is because deity is living right here. It's the word of God coming from the mouth of God. And I have no reservation about saying that. I recognize my Danny's message.
Amen.
And so I believe those tumors will begin to shrink. Okay. I told them both. I said, I believe those tumors will begin to shrink and that God will begin the healing.
That's right.
And, you know, that's, we got to realize how powerful our words are.
God is,
that's right.
And words. When we speak, when we confess something,
it's God speaking.
You know, it's different. When your wife says something, it's different. When somebody else going along the street, they say something.
You don't listen to that.
Whatever. You know. But when your wife says something,
amen.
That means something to you.
Yes,
we'd be in the bride of Christ. You know, that's just right. Like, you know, I was singing before how that, at a regular wedding, you know, the bride can invite anybody she wants to the wedding.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter if the groom knows them or not.
It's too clear.
So to speak, you know. It don't matter if he knows them or not.
Amen.
Friends and loved ones to the bride.
That's right.
Come on.
So I'm thankful for this word.
Amen.
That same God you were talking about there, Brother Isaiah, that same God dwells in here.
Oh, yeah.
He dwells in here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was talking to the pastor today, and I said, you know, in Corinthians, that's a pretty strong scripture. It says you can give your body to be burned. Now, that's a pretty big thing.
Oh, yes.
But if you don't have love, and what is love? He himself, God himself. So I can cut the grass, I can vacuum the carpet, I can do the meals, but if I don't have love, I'm doing it for naught. Amen. But I praise God because I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know, Pastor said it, admit it. You know, but I don't look at those flaws.
Right.
I don't look, I push over those flaws. I've seen God do too much. Talk about healing. I had lung cancer. God healed me. God healed me. I had rotator cuff twice, once. God healed me. I lost my voice. God healed me. My wife broke all of her ribs on one side. Pelvis fractured. Foot. Spine. Look at her. She's healed. Now, God took us on the vacation, and she slipped. Not even 24 hours after we got there, but God moved.
Amen.
God did all kinds of things. Let me tell you, in the natural, we had a wonderful time because we didn't let that stop us.
Amen.
You don't let anything stop you.
Amen.
You serve God with everything that's in you.
Amen.
Thank God for this birth. And you know, I was laughing. I was telling Brother Moore, I says, I was one of those who got in line and come to Brother Moore. And he said, what are you looking for? And I was looking for all kinds of stuff. But I say, thank God for a birth. Thank God for a clear understanding. That clear understanding is the thing that'll hold you when you're full of tumors. That clear understanding is the thing that'll hold you when things come, when things fall apart. It's the same thing that'll hold you when you're on the top of the mountain. You won't forget who did it. You won't forget where God dwells. You won't forget who you should serve with all your heart. And I praise God for this. On the way here, I said, oh, my God. Dawn says, you're feeling bad? I said, no. I says, I want to come and bless the body.
Amen.
I don't have a headache. I'm not tired. I was saying, oh, my God, help me to be a blessing. Help me to say something that'll help the body. That's what I'm here for.
Amen.
I'm not here for anything else. That's my goal. That's my thought.
Yes.
That's all I think about.
Yes.
Drive myself crazy thinking about it. But I praise God.
Amen. God bless you. Go ahead, brother.
That's a believer. I wanted to get up here as soon as I got here because I know I'll settle back there behind the guitar. But I've been thinking about something this week, and something you said Sunday was God in your confession. You know, you got to know where to put God, and you got to confess it with your mouth. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to be real to you. And we know God's in flesh. And I was thinking about this week because every time we have preaching come across, it's always backed up by scriptures and by quotes from Brother Branham. And it brought me back to 10th grade math class.
Amen.
For those of you who can remember geometry, it got me thinking about these things called proofs, because when I took geometry, I loved proofs. I could do them with my eyes closed. I looked up the definition just for fun. This is kind of a type and shadow. It says, geometric proofs are a list of statements and reasons used to prove that a given mathematical concept or idea is true. Just like we do with the word.
Amen.
There's scripture, there's quotes, they back it up. And I got to thinking, you know, it's more than just that. It's to me, it makes sense because it's just like an equation. There's always a balance that comes with it. And what does an equal sign do for an equation? It balances both sides. I mean, you can look at anything that's preached. They'll preach heavy on one side, but you always get the other side of the coin.
That's right.
And then I've been laughing to myself over in the pew because every time I hear any of you preach, in my head, when you get to the second part, I'm like, there's your equal sign.
There it is.
There's your equal sign. Yeah. And so it blessed me because to be able to get a clear understanding of this, you've got to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Because I know that this is clear to me, I know that I'm one of them. I know I have that understanding. So that just blessed me. I thought I would share it.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Let me get the announcements out of the way real quick. Church picnic is on August 6th. That's this Sunday. Sister Sway's shower is this Saturday at 12 o'clock, August 5th. The wedding is on the 18th at 4:30. Then on September 9th, we have the Fox Hollow Rodeo. September 10th is the church pitchers, and on the 29th is Andrew and Caleb's bonfire.
No church Sunday night.
Amen. All right. We're going to sing from 166, oh, actually 145, A Sanctuary.
Amen.
God bless you tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and Thanksgiving. Yes, I'll be a living. be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. Yes, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. One more time. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
Bless you, sis.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I am so grateful to be here. And I know that I've been quiet for a certain amount of time, but I am God's child. He loves me. God even told me today that I was His.
Amen.
I am an overcomer.
Amen.
I am a believer.
Amen.
I know what I'm here for. Amen. I thank again for the guidance. Yes. Even when I sit back there, I'm not going to give Satan no room.
Oh,
he has
my.
No room.
Testify.
For here. I want to edify.
Amen.
The body.
Amen.
I thank you all for everything. Everything. And Pastor Moore, you said so many things, and I even listened to it again. Everything you said was nothing but the truth.
Amen.
I am confessing that God loves me. I am God. I can provide positive change to anyone who comes near me. I love Him. I love Him so much. I cannot do anything without Him. Also, I have the Holy Spirit in my body.
Amen.
I have been baptized. Everything that you have said, Pastor Moore, it is nothing but the truth. I take the rebukes. I hear it. I put it up on the shelf. Bring it back down when I need it. And I just thank you for everything.
Amen.
And my sisters and my brothers, I thank you all for everything. I just
yeah.
have to let you know I am a living sanctuary, and I am surrounded by all the angels who are living sanctuaries.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, sir.
Amen.
I'm going to speak up before he shuts it down. Because I know once it's shut down, it's done. But I tell you what I was thinking today, I am glad to be a vessel.
Yeah.
You know what I love about the vessels, you know, they're all unique.
Oh, yeah.
You ever try to put a hot beverage in a glass? It breaks.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny, I was also thinking about that because, you know, you start thinking about the natural. It ties in because, you know, we all have that favorite cup.
Mm-hmm.
It's
oh, yeah.
ugly.
Yeah.
It's beat down.
Yeah.
It's dependable.
Yeah.
I look at myself like that favorite cup. I confess to be that favorite cup.
Yes.
You'll dig through all the pretty cups.
Yeah.
They may live better than me.
Right.
They may look better than me. But God knows, I want coffee this morning. I'm going to dig through these cups. I'm going to pull Seth out. I'm going to fill him up. I'm going to fill him up. Because you know what? Not everyone can be filled up this day.
Come on.
Everyone tries to manufacture something. Well, look at me. I'm pristine. I'm new. I keep hot, and cold. I'm like, I know, but that beverage doesn't taste the same unless it's in that cup.
Amen.
That cup has been with me for a long time. It's been 2,000 years it's been with me. That cup is dependable. So I love the fact that it's so simple. You can say, I'm one of them. I'm a vessel. I'm an empty vessel. Because so often we want to put emphasis on the flesh. I ain't worried about it. Because I love what Brother Moore said Sunday night. Oh, I could say I'm sorry every day. But that sin was unbelief.
Amen.
That sin was burned away.
That's right.
With the old man.
That's right.
So therefore, I am a beautiful, brand new creature.
Amen.
You can't put anything to me. When you start talking like that, the devil's like, oh my goodness, what?
What am I going to do
What?
Now?
What are you going to do? Oh, but cancer. Oh, no, like my dad said, I'll praise God when I'm up.
Right.
I'll praise God when I'm down.
Yes,
I'll be like Job picking boils. Oh, okay. If that's where you want me. If they're talking, if our believers are sitting there with a liver transplant trying to preach after being extubated.
Come on. Come on.
How much should I talk when I have breath?
Amen.
I have my dad who's missing 2/3 of a lung.
Right.
And he doesn't stop him. Why shouldn't I raise my hands? God's been too good for me to where I shouldn't sit down. It's getting to an hour to where we should feel anxious.
Amen.
I want the song leaders to have such a, oh, Lord. Yeah. Oh, Lord. I want to blow whistles and
Amen.
Throw flags.
Don't let him get a song in.
This is real. This is like Brother Moore said, this is my celebration. I'm the salt of the land when I'm out there, but I get to come in here and say, hey, body, we made it one more time. Let's party. Let's have church. You brought a thought. I brought a thought. You brought a thought. You brought a thought. Let's have church. That's a promise. I came in with an expectation, and the thing, though, has changed, though. Now I see it. Because before, I expected someone else to bring a thought. I expected somebody else. But now I'm like, okay. But you throw up you have a popcorn, okay? I love popcorn because as soon as one starts to pop, it's not long till the rest of them pop. Yeah, it's not long. And then eventually, after we all had that revelation, it's done.
Yeah,
it's done. You leave it in too long, it'll burn.
Eat a song.
It's got a start. It's got an end. But I love the fact that we are moving in such a way that it should make people feel a little uncomfortable. You should feel
fancy.
A certain way.
Yeah. Come
there
on.
Should be something to you where you're like chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
Like, let me get up and say something. He's been too good to me.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? Amen. You read these scriptures and you can't read them the same because you start seeing, well, if he said let there be light, why can't I say cancer be gone?
Right.
If he said Lazarus get up, why can't I say loved one get up?
Amen.
It's the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can't make God any less. You can't make God that same God that was in God. He poured into Christ, and he poured into the bride. I don't know about you, but I identify with the bride.
Amen.
Anybody? Yeah. So, why we talk? We give ourselves not enough benefit. We're over here like, well, Lord, you know, it's your will. I was talking to my mom today. I used to pray like, well, Lord, if it's not your will, I guess I'll see you on their side. Uh-uh. When you want something, you'll ask and you'll stay up to it. We haven't forgot Sister Anna's eyes.
No.
No, that's, she'll see.
What about me?
If we can get a liver, we can cure the blind. He's been in mud. It's no different. And I, you know, talking about the three pools, I went back and I read that because I knew that the third pool, but that first and second.
Okay.
That's still mine.
Yeah.
That's still mine.
Oh, yeah.
The prophesying.
All of it.
The healing. It's still mine. It doesn't change. I just think sometimes we forget. I just want to get up and remind you.
Amen.
You are a mighty, mighty group.
Yes, sir.
You guys have the power to, he said, have a faith of a mustard seed.
Yes.
And we are way bigger than a mustard seed. We're way bigger than a mustard seed. So if I have enough faith that I'm going to have to get the dead up, you're going to have to move some muscles. You're going to have to express something. Because you can't get the dead up. They can't hear your voice from those pews. They can't hear it.
Come on.
You're going to have to get
Come
up.
On.
You're
That's
going to
right.
have to
Amen.
Identify with this body. You're either in or you're out.
Amen.
And it's a late hour. I'm not. I'm not me.
Hey.
So I'm saying,
I'm in.
Thank you, Lord, for revelation. Thank you that you put eternal representation in me, because if you didn't, I would be
Come
trying
on.
To be like a pretty cup.
That's right.
But thank God that I'm that broken, beautiful cup.
Use.
And I don't
Amen.
Care if it's orange juice, coffee, tea. Lord, whatever you
don't
feel.
Matter.
Whatever
right.
your will.
When
you understand that scripture, not my will.
Right.
It's not even second anymore. But it's God's will be done.
Amen.
You start the scriptures start reading a little bit different.
Oh,
you, start,
yeah.
you can't even write and divide it. I'm like, I am the same, the yesterday, today, and forever. I am beautifully and wonderfully made. I'm a new creature. Nothing can stand against me.
Right.
If Christ be for me, What about Christ being in you?
Right.
How
Amen.
Much more?
Amen.
We're getting to a point where we're standing up strong. We are. That we get to the point where like the devil's like that little boy just like, ah! And we're just like, no, not today. Not today, Satan. Come on. I love it. So thank you, Lord, for revelation. Thank you. I got another chance to get up here before the song leader shuts it down.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Seth. We're going to sing We're in This Church, page 163.
Hey, Isaiah,
right
quick, can I flip my
testimony? Come on in.
Amen.
You'll be the last one.
Amen.
Uh-oh.
Praise God.
Yeah, get in there.
The door
confess. I come to confess that I am a believer. I come to confess that I'm healed, that I am the Word of God in this hour. If you don't confess it, it's not yours. So I'm running for my life, saints.
Amen.
We're in this church.
We're in this church, this glorious church. We did not join, no, we were born. We have a new birth. Some glorious day, we're gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. We're in this church. We're in this church. This glorious church. We did not join, no, we were born. I have a new birth. Some glorious day, we're gonna sail away, gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my word. We're even in this church. We're in this church. This glorious.
We did not join, no, we were born. I had a new birth. Some glorious day, I'm gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. We're in this church. Sing it again. This church, this glorious church, we did not join, no, we were born, we've had a new birth. Thank you, Lord. Some glorious day, we're gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my work. We're in this church.
One last time.
We're in this church. This glorious church. We did not join. No, we were born. We've had a new birth. Some glorious day. We're gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. It's by His grace, not by my works. We're in this church. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for your amazing grace, for a clear understanding. Lord, that we couldn't merit this, Lord, that you came and paid the price so that you could make a way for each and every one of us. And Lord, we're here tonight as your servants, just thanking you and praising you. And we choose to serve you back. And Lord, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for letting us know we came from you and we're coming back to you. And Lord, we're part of a bride church. Not flirters, not make-believers, not somebody just playing church. Lord, this is a real church that's called of you, that you're inside. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for another service. Thank you for moving and talking to us. Thank you for your anointing and your inspiration and your words. And Lord, as we approach this part of the service, we ask that you have your way.
Lord, like with anything, we got to move our flesh and our minds, our thoughts out of the way and just let you have your way, Lord. And we ask that you have your way. And Lord, we continue to bring this body before you, Lord. As the body was talking, you're a healer. You've already proved this to us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for all your healings. And Lord, we ask that you continue to give strength to Brother James' body. And Brother Bren's wife, Kathleen, Lord, touch her body. I don't care what the circumstances look like, Lord. You're more than able to take care of that, no matter how much the devil would want to say otherwise. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask, amen. You may be seated. It's good to see everybody tonight. Happy to be here. I am looking forward to the rest of the service. And, you know, I told you Sunday night I had a little procedure for my kidney stone. And before that happened, God said, Jeremiah, you're going to talk Wednesday. And I've held on to that, let me tell you. Because between that then and now, that's been some trials. But I say that to give God the glory, because God has got me here tonight feeling good and ready to go. But before I go, we got a treat tonight. And we got Brother Skyler that's going to get up here and speak to us. And I'm excited to hear what he's got to say. I appreciate Brother Skyler. He's been a good example to all of us and to our young people. You know, I told this story before, but I'll never forget it because it's always stuck out to me. Is he had met Brother Moore once, I think, at a funeral, and Brother Moore preached that funeral, and it had stuck out to Skyler, I believe he would tell you. But he never came to our church from that funeral, and so Brother Moore felt led to go to a church in Springboro. And it was myself. Doug might have met us there. I forget. I think Doug may have drove up. I forget. But we got there, and all I noticed the whole service, I'll just be honest, the preaching didn't do a whole lot for me. The song service didn't do a whole lot for me. But for some reason, Skyler stuck out to me that whole service. Just weird. I was like, there's something about that guy. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I said, there's something about him, though. And lo and behold, the next Wednesday, he come walking in here. And he ain't never been the same since. And he's a friend. He's a brother to all of us. Been willing to help and step up. So I'm looking forward to hear what he says. So we got a treat. And when Brother Skyler's done, you guys get to hear from Brother Jeremiah. Amen. And just like anybody else, he's got to get out of the way too. I like being able to say that. You're going to hear from Jeremiah, but really hearing from God. Because otherwise it won't work. Amen. And then after that, we'll get Pastor Moore up here to close it. So come on, Brother Skyler.
God told me I was getting up Wednesday too. So, I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm all kinds of stuff, but thankful for this opportunity. You know, I was gonna pick a couple people that were stepping all over my message, but everybody ended up doing it. So, I just want to go ahead and read my key verse just to get started here. I'm in James chapter 4. Me and Pastor, we're looking for this verse, and I spelled one of the words that made me think of it, spelled it wrong. Vapor. And we typically now spell it V-A-P-O-R. In the Bible, it's V-A-P-O-U-R. So I thought, what was missing? You. And there's times we've had some dead air in here, and I was sitting behind the base, and I thought, you should get up. You've got something to say. Why aren't you getting up? Get up. And the moment would pass, and beat myself up. Somebody else would say what I wanted to say, and God would move on them. And man, why didn't I get up? But only what you do for God will last. And so I want to go ahead and read this verse here. It's verse 14. I'm going to end up reading the whole chapter too, but I just want to start with this verse. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, I think about Brother Trevor. I think about Brother Jay, of course. You know, they're both young, going through things. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. If all we've got is a vapor, yeah, only what you do for God will last. You know, If it's just a vapor, you know, I think about how people spend money sometimes. They get a couple bucks and think, man, I'm gonna go get me something to eat. Or I mean, sometimes you have to, but like, I'm the type, you know, I want to invest it or save it or do something with it, you know. If all I've got's a vapor, I want to invest into God. I want to give him everything I got. You know, and I'm thankful for this place. So, I want to go ahead and read the chapter. I'm chewing gum, too, because I knew I'd get caught in mouth. But verse 1 here, and I even like the, it says part 3, the rebuke of worldliness. I like that. But verse 1 here goes, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Kind of theme I'm getting here is people try to do things without God all the time. It might work for a little while, and then it'll catch up with you. Only what you do for him will last. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he that giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I had a thought on that, too. You know, I dealt with bullies when I was in school. I know a lot of people do. But the way to make them go away is just ignore them. Don't give them a reaction. Don't show them that what they're doing is working. You know, and I think Seth testified. He said something about the devil being a bully in his testimony. And the way to get past that is just don't let him. He can fly over your head. Don't let him nest. Don't let him make a nest. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify means to become one soul thing. Drop your thinking. Amen. Just drop it. We're one with God. Amen. I want his thinking to be my thinking. Amen. That's what purify means. I like being pure. Amen. Body is one mind with God. His thoughts are mine. Amen. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Read the verse again. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Been thinking about some things I've dealt with at work the past couple weeks, just different experiences, seeing different things. I was delivering in to a speedway in Kettering. And I don't even remember what they're called, but witnesses or, they're out on the street and just yelling, just preaching. And I'm working. I'm already irritated with work and stuff and focusing on that. And I think, you know, and I corrected myself, but I was thinking, you know, they're kind of annoying. I wish they'd shut up. And I thought, ooh, I don't like that. So these people are out here doing everything they know, what they know to do. You know, and I was talking to somebody else, you know, there's all kinds of reasons people don't come to church and different things. And there's so many gods. There's so many denominations. How do you know you're right? think, well, you look at all the gods that, you know, were in a tomb or whatever. Jesus is the only one that's not in a tomb. He got back up. Denominations all just fight with each other and divisions of Satan. I'm not out here fighting denominations. I'm out here looking for God modern day, right now. Fresh meat, fresh manna. Looking for him. I'm thankful for that that wisdom and what I get here, you know. And there's different, sometimes we've got some customers at work that are a little difficult to deal with. There's one everybody has problems with, this Kroger. And she runs the back room, and that's her little area that she gets to control, and she takes pride in that. That's okay. And but she's very difficult. And I just try, instead of fighting back with her, I just thought, why don't you just come to her in a still small voice like God does? That's right. And I just told her, you know, I know you're going through a lot. I know you're stressed. It's okay. I'm just trying to do my job. I just want to make it as easy on you as possible. What can I do? Amen. She apologized to me. Sorry I was being a blankety blankety blank. And I thought, well, God bless you. You know, it happens. I get mad at work. You know, it's okay. You know, I'm just trying to deliver some Pepsi. It's, you know, I'm just trying to do my job. If you don't want it, just reject it. I'll take it back. Amen. You know, it ain't gonna hurt me that bad. It kind of will, but not that bad. But I just think about different things, and, you know, and friends have testified of me, you know, just telling me how I have an effect on just any room I go to. You know, I'm this one coworker said, I've got the power to change the entire attitude in a room full of people. And I just thought, like, a lot of times I'm spotlight at a party or whatever, you know, just being God. You know, I just, this life is just a vapor. I want to make people laugh. I want to enjoy. I want to fellowship. I want to be with like-minded people. I want to prioritize what's important. You know, I don't have much time to do it. You know, some characters in the Bible live to be hundreds of years old. Average lifespans now is 70 years, maybe. I just want to spend every moment doing what I can to please God, you know, because when you compare eternity to our little lifespan, our little lifespan ain't much. Only what you do for God will last. You know, I keep saying that. But I had about a page of notes, and I think I've already said, you know, I don't want to stand up here and just try to give more than what God's given me, you know. Amen. I'd like to fill up 30 minutes or an hour, but I think that's all I got. Amen. So.
I think that was a mic from you.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Enjoyed it. And we say it plenty of times. We want what God wants. It's only human tradition that thinks it's got to be a certain length or a certain amount of time or a certain number of amens. So many people jumping up and down. You know, what it's really about is edifying the body. That's how you know it's God. Because that's what the Scripture says it will do. His Word says that we'll edify with one another in love. His Scripture says the fivefold ministries for the perfecting of the saints, edification of the body, you know. So that's what we're looking for. And who does that is God, working through man, of course. But it's not because we're so smart or we're so capable. Psychology can do a lot of things, and we see that in the world. But if you want to talk about the joy that God's talking about, that comes from God. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. And, you know, James 4 is an interesting chapter because James on one side is rebuking people because they don't have no care for God and they're just high-minded and doing their own thing and talking about each other. And he's trying to say, you know, if you had a spirit of Christ, then you would be a little more humble. And you submit yourself to God and you'd want to draw nigh to him. And you're so high and mighty in this life, but it's only a little bit of time. And then what Scott was trying to say, you know, this short little bit of time, let's give it to God. Amen. And that's what James is trying to say. Amen. And we should give our life to God. You know, that's the thing about the world, you know, and or the people that don't care about God, they don't even realize he's the reason they have life. He's the giver of life. He's the one that gives them the opportunity to even walk around here and do the things that we're doing. And, you know, we don't, as Skyler's saying, you know, I appreciate what he's saying, we're not high-minded and think we're better than anybody, and I'm just going to go in a place and I'm so much better than you. No, despite the atmosphere or despite who's around me, I'm going to be the Word made flesh, present tense, right in front of people. The same yesterday and today forever, and they're going to notice a difference in me. And I don't even have to say the word Jesus, and they'll notice a difference for me. I don't even have to open the Bible, and they're going to notice a difference because that word is actually alive, living through somebody. It's manifesting itself. It's showing God to the people, and they notice something's different. They know there's something different about a person that can come in and say, everybody else has had problems with that person. Everybody else has come in this room, and we've had the same attitude. But for some reason, you come in here, and the whole atmosphere changes. That's not us. That's not we're so good. That's God. God knows how to take control of the entire room. He knows how to take over. He knows how to set the devil down. He knows how to love to where a bull will come charging at you, and you'll just tell you, I love you. And that bull will stop in his tracks. That's what God can do. He has the ability to look the devil in the face and tell the devil he's got to sit down and he has no room here and you might as well get out of my way because I've come to do what I got to do. Amen. And he does it in multiple ways. He does it first with his word. We know that. But God's love, and he'll love you to death. He'll kill you with his love. You said something here, and you know, I ain't here to preach to the world. The world don't want nothing I have to say, but you know, the devil always takes God's word. I've always noticed he takes God's word and he just perverts a little bit. And I tell Elisa sometimes, you know, everybody wants to use this, be kind. And be kind's good. It's the word. Paul said, be kind one to another. But what the devil does, he doesn't go to the next part of that verse. Forgive one another. Amen. We want to be kind, but we ain't going to forgive anybody. See, that's the problem with the world. That's the problem with the devil. The devil will give you a lot of good word, give you a lot of truth. Be kind sounds great, and it's the truth. But don't stop there. Even when I do you wrong, you better forgive me. Amen. Being kind's easy. Most cases. Forgiving's hard. Amen. So you don't impress me too much with being kind. Amen. Forgive. Yeah. Somebody did you wrong. Yeah. That you know did you wrong. Yeah. And they did it ill-intently. Yeah. What did Jesus say? Turn the other cheek. Amen. What did he say when he's hanging on the cross? Father, forgive them. Yeah. For they know not what they do. Amen. See, I like serving a God like that. Oh, yeah. God's always got one up on the devil. Because the devil can sound real pretty. He'll sound real nice. I believe in being kind. I want everybody to be kind. I believe in treating everybody good. But what if I don't? What if I slip up for an expression? What if I let my human side show up and I mistreat you? I talk about you. I do something wrong. What are you going to do then? You going to cancel me? You going to tell me that you don't want no more to do with me? That ain't God. God says forgive one another. Amen. That ain't my message. I don't even know why I'm there, but that's still the truth anyhow. Amen. All the devil does, he takes God's word and he perverts it. And it'll sound good. Eve, God didn't say you couldn't take of that tree. That knowledge is so good. He not surely die. He just put one little word in there. Sounded real pretty, but that one little word messed up the whole entire program. Amen. So you got to stay all the way with the Word of God. And you do got to submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. So I enjoyed that, Brother Skyler. Now, if you have your Bibles, I would like to start in the book of Joshua. It's in the Old Testament. Pretty early in there. The first book after the book of Moses that Moses wrote after Deuteronomy. We're going to go to the 24th chapter. Very familiar verse. So Joshua, the 24th chapter, verse 15. And
I'm going to go up to verse 14 first. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers put away. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. May God add the blessings to the reading of his word. My title tonight is Serving God. And that's a simple title, but I kind of got a little bit enthused about it as I started thinking about it, because serving God's a good thing. Yeah. Amen. Serving God, not a lot of people know how to do it. Right. Not a lot of people are even doing it, even though they think they're doing it. But there are a group of people that are truly serving God. And I always, you know, this is for the last 2 or 3 years, however many long ago it's been since Brother Moore's really driven home that God's predestinated us by foreknowledge and he doesn't make us do anything. That stuck out so real to me. And I just want to say it one more time. God does not force you to serve him. You choose to serve God. God does not force you really to do anything for him. You do it because you want to, because you love him, and you choose to serve him. And you know, see, we have a strong understanding, but that puts a little onus on you, see? Oh, yeah. Because we always want to blame God for everything. We want to put onus on God. Right. And see, we have a strong revelation. See, we understand by revelation that if we were part of God before the foundation of the world, and if he foresaw us and he predestinated us, and we get that clear understanding, we're so sure we know we're going to make it. Because if he did foreknow you, you're making it. Right. And he's going to supply all your needs. He's going to give you all the words you need. He's going to give you all the help you need. And you are going to make it back to where you come from. Amen. That is as true tonight as it has always been. Amen. But you still got to choose to serve God. He does not make you serve him. He has never made any of his servants that have done anything for God serve him. You got to serve him because you love him and because you want to serve him. Amen. Oh, it's that, and that's even more special to me because that makes it personal. Oh, I'm not here serving God tonight because my mom and dad serve God. I'm not here serving God tonight because my spouse serves God. I'm here serving God tonight because I want to serve God, because I love God for myself. And you don't have to wait till you're 30. You don't have to wait till you're 40. You don't have to wait till you're 20. You can start serving God as soon as you want to start serving God. Amen. As soon as he shows he's real to you, you can start serving God right then. That's right. And there. Amen. Oh, we don't have to go off the traditions. When I get old enough, I'll serve God. That's just a tradition. That's just a creed. Amen. That's just a dogma. Right. That's just a devil really trying to stop you from serving God. That's an excuse. Amen. You can serve God when you're 10. You can serve God when you're 12. Amen. You can serve God when you're 16. Amen. You just got to do that for yourself. If God reveals himself to you and he makes himself real to you, you can serve God for yourself no matter what anybody else is doing. Amen. It may not be popular. May not be the end thing. But when this thing strikes you just right, Brother Deskins, it doesn't matter. That's right. Oh, the flesh will talk to you, or the devil will talk to you. Oh, yeah. There will be peer pressures. Oh, yeah. But you know, there will be something about you. That no matter what comes, and no matter how much the devil wants to try to talk to you, there will be something in you that says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Now, obviously I didn't just come up with this title out of the blue. Brother Moore preached on Sunday of getting out of the way. And I enjoyed that message like everybody else. And you know, the way he preached that Sunday, of course, it all made sense. It was clear and tied with everything else I heard preached, but I ain't never heard it said that way. It was nice because it tied to justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, it just ran. Amen. But, you know, you do need to repent. And it ain't just, like you said, the everyday repentance. I'm going to be repenting until I get out of here. Right. But it's the recognizing the fact that you by yourself... Amen. You're not worthy. No. You're a sinner. Yeah. You need help. Amen. You need somebody to save you. Right. It's not your abilities. It's not your goodness. It's not your self-righteousness. You need the amazing grace of God. You need somebody else that has paid the price for you. And you repent and say, I'm not worthy, Lord. I'm the one that's sorry that caused you to have to go to Calvary, so to speak. I'm the one that's guilty. It's my sin. It's my lie. It's my shortcoming. I need your amazing grace. You know, and we know quite well now, some people go to church and it's just because of miscreeds and dogmas being preached to them, they almost are going to bring something to God before they even repent. They're going to almost bring their ability, their self-righteousness, what they can do, how good they've lived, their works, and don't even realize their works is not good enough to make them worthy. Their good works is still filthy rags into God's eyes. Everybody, the Bible says all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. That means we all need Jesus Christ's saving power. There's not a man in shoe leather. I don't care if it was John the Baptist, William Branham, Enoch, you go down the list, Adam, we all needed the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We're not worthy. And God doesn't appreciate somebody coming in and saying, here's what I'm going to offer to you without realizing you first need Him. He first loved me. And because He loved me, I love Him. He went and died for me. And because He died for me, I'm serving Him. Don't get the cart before the horse. That's why repentance is important. Just join the club, so to speak. You're no different than anybody else in here. You're going to realize one day, you know, that's the thing about being able to give grace, like we say. It's easier to give grace when you realize you need grace. That's why God even did that to Paul. Paul seeked Him 3 times. So I got a flesh problem, God. I need You to take this away from me. And Paul was a major prophet. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the one setting up the order of the church, the Gentile church, mightily used of God. You would think if God was going to take away something from somebody, it would certainly be Paul. But you know what God did? He looked at Paul. He said, My grace is sufficient for thee. In your weakness, I'm strong. But you having issues, Paul, it means you need Me. God wants somebody that needs Him. He wanted to be a Savior. He wanted to be a Redeemer. He wanted to be somebody that would come in and take your place.
Amen. That's right.
Not everybody knows how to repent. I'm not, I guess, going to say it's easy, but in one sense, it's easy. Just, I'm sorry, I did it. It's easy to the bride. Not everybody can do it. That's why I say that, but just join the club. I say that in a sense, you're no different than anybody in here. Repent. Be ye baptized. And ye shall be saved. Oh, that's an easy thing. And I'm starting here because I'm going to get to serving God. But if you can't repent and confess and get clean, in other words, get a new birth, you can't serve God. You got to get a new birth to even serve God right. Otherwise, you're doing it out of creeds and dogmas and works, and it's not even offered and it's wanted by God. You know, to serve God right, you got to even know what He wants.
That's right.
And if you don't got a clear understanding of your day and His message, you're missing what He wants. Because what He truly wants is His day and His message. He wants what's going on right now. He's not trying to get you to offer a sacrifice. That's not His day. That's not His message. That's not what He's after. He wants somebody to believe Him, to have rapturing faith. They say it's time to get out of here. So you got to get born again. You got to get a clear understanding. You got to let God talk to you so you even know how to serve God. Now, just think about it for a minute. You know I'm right because you go to work with people. You've went to denominational churches. And they're sincere people doing their best to serve God. And I looked up the quote this week. Brother Branham said, sincere people. But sincerely wrong. I ain't got my nose stuck down at him. It's just the grace of God that I got a revelation. But the point I'm trying to make is we all have these creeds and dogmas of how we think we serve God. We think that if we say 20 Hail Marys, we're serving God. We think if we build a hospital and give money to feed the poor, we're serving God. Now, let me say this right. You can do those things, and those are good things when you're doing it by revelation. The point I'm trying to make is people have creeds and dogmas and think if all they do is build a hospital and feed the poor, they've done a good work, they're good, and they're serving God. But that's not true. You can do those things and it'll be a good service and it'll be a good work for God. But you still got to find out what He really wants. You got to find out what He's really about. That's why you got to repent first. That's the prescription. Is there a special circumstance here and there in the Bible? Sure there is. Brother Moore said that Sunday. But that general prescription is right there. Repent. Be ye baptized. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Before I talk about serving God with you, you need to do that. It starts right there. There's water. What halts you between two opinions? If God be God, let's serve Him. And I ain't trying to do that hard. I'm just trying to explain to you. It's that easy.
Amen.
Brother Moore, we'll think we got to come to church, come to the altar, repent 20 times, live a clean life, consecrate our life, bring a gift, read our Bible every day, and we barely make it to the new birth. And those are things that we eventually probably will do. But that ain't what God said. You got the horse out front. All He told you to do, just repent. Tell me you need me. Tell me you're a sinner. Tell me it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. And get baptized. And I promise you, ye will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And from that point, now we can start talking about serving God. Because now I can start dealing with you. That's what you got us to on Sunday. You got to get God in there. You said you repent, you confess, you get clean. And then you finally say, here am I, Lord. Send me. You want to get out of the way? You want to serve God? Get a new birth. Repent. Confess. I think it's Romans says, those that believe in God and confess with the heart, the same shall be saved. Follow that prescription.
Amen.
Can't get ahead of it. Because you know what? There are things that we can talk about serving God. We can talk about playing instruments, serving God. You do realize the devil can impersonate that. He can play instruments. We can have gifts, serving God. But do you realize the devil can impersonate that? We can change how we dress. And for a real believer, it's a real change. And you're serving God. But the devil can do that. But the one thing the devil can't do is he can't go in that little room. He can't get a new birth. He can't get eternal life. He can't touch eternal life. He can't go all the way with the Word like you can. He has not had that born again experience. He can mimic gifts. He can mimic good living. He can mimic testimonies. He can mimic preaching. But what he can't mimic is the ability to punctuate every word of God with an amen,
amen,
and get that clear understanding and get a new birth.
Amen.
You say that's tricky for people because you say, well, Jeremiah, I see churchgoers dressing just as good as I dress. Matter of fact, Brother Branham said, you meet a Muslim, they'll outlive you. He's talked about witches that he would see have a pen stand up and write with nobody's hand on them because they had a faith in it. The devil can mimic those things. So if you go off those things, that can be tricky. But what you got to do is you got to get born again.
Amen.
You got to amen the word of God. And then God starts dealing with you on a personal walk and a personal revelation. And then he starts changing your life. And then that type of service, or if you want to call it that, that type of change is a real change by God.
Amen.
Well, you got to get that new birth first.
Right.
You can't get the cart ahead of the horse,
no,
or you won't make any movement.
Amen.
You must be born again. Now, I want to talk about serving God. I'm going to get it connected with getting out of the way. I want to go over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And bear with me for just a minute. I'm going to get a few points out, Lord willing. Sorry, it's Hebrews 11th chapter. I'm going to the faith chapter. I don't know why I said 10. And we know the scripture very well. I want to start at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. By faith, not by his smarts, not by his education, not because he was so good. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Now I'm going to come back to Hebrews 11 to use another example, but I wanted to start there. Because when you get a new birth, how you start serving God is by faith. That's the start. You live and move and breathe by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. You can do everything good like Cain did. Cain brought a sacrifice just like Abel. You can live good. You can have pretty sacrifices. You can do all the good things. But if it isn't by faith, it's not serving God. What did he just say? By faith, Abel offered. He did a service. He did something for God that God testified it was good, better than Cain's. And Cain offered a sacrifice. Cain offered a pretty sacrifice. But it wasn't the one God accepted. Serving God, you're serving by faith. And I want to connect to that. When you're serving God, you get to where the word is.
That's right.
You say, why do you say that? Where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And if you agree with me that you serve God by faith, the Bible tells me faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Amen.
It is hard to serve God staying at home. I'm just being honest with you. I'm going to say like a pastor, you can't serve God. Not getting around his word, coming to church and hearing the instructions of God and building your faith. If you don't come to church to hear his word, you don't know how to serve God. You don't know what he wants. Now, I got notes up here, and I'm telling you, these are simple notes. These ain't complicated concepts, people. This is just little things. I thought, well, the only way to please God is by faith. The Bible says that. Brother Bram taught that. Jesus taught that.
Yes.
And how do you get faith? By preaching. So it doesn't add up if you think you can avoid the preaching and serve God.
That's right.
So let's rehearse for a minute. You repent. You confess. You get baptized. You get a new birth. That new birth is your first clear understanding. It's your first revelation. It's your first faith in action. But if you want to serve God, because that's just a start, you got to keep coming and eating that word and get more and more instructions so that you can serve God. If you're ever going to be able to get out of the way for God, you got to get to church and let the word talk to you and let God deal with you and teach you things, or you have no clue how to even get out of the way. You're going to miss church for 12 months. You're going to come in, and all of a sudden you got more revelation than I got. And I don't mean that in a competition way, Brother Moore. I just mean that you're going to come in, all of a sudden you got this new great revelation. I'm going to tell you about God. I have no confidence in that. You don't even know what God wants. You haven't even heard him what he wants. You haven't even listened to what he wants. I don't even trust you getting out of the way. Matter of fact, I'm quite sure you're going to be in the way, because you're going to be bringing your thinking and what you think we need to hear versus saying, what do you want, God? You want to get out of the way? You want to serve God? I'm going to tell you, you need to first listen a little bit. You need to get a word from Him. You need to let Him preach to you a little bit so you can get a revelation. Then you can move by revelation. You let Him preach the word. He quickens that word to you. And then you can step out by faith and move for Him some more. Amen. You come back to church, He'll preach again. Right. And you know how this thing works? You just believe God.
That's right.
Well, that's all I like about it. Like I told you, it's simple. You come to church and you're a believer. Amen. I believe that when I go to work, God's going to work.
Amen.
You know, let me tell you something that's got kind of real to me lately. Traditionally, we use the get out of the way, and for years we just think that's all preachers. Because
right.
We talk about so much, gets to get out of the way.
Right.
You realize every one of us believers have to get out of the way.
Yes.
Whether you're a preacher or not a preacher.
That's right.
And so I want to say, what you do is you can sit there, you get some preaching, and how you serve God by faith. Because here's what happens. What do you mean you're a God? You know your problems. You're no better than anybody else. You're not worthy to think you're greater than anybody else. What do you mean people are going to touch God when they touch you? But you know what overcomes that devil talking to you? Is you come here and got a little faith. You heard the word preached to you. You heard the word get quickened to you. And the word said that you're God in flesh. And when the world deals with you, they deal with God. And you know what you do? You got to get out of the way. You serve God. You got to get out of your thinking. Out of your own tradition. Somebody offers you water. I'm just going to turn that down. No, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get out of the way. You're going to get out of my thinking. I'm going to take that thing in. I'm just giving you simple examples. Yeah, I got to get out of the way when I preach. Certainly I do. But we got to get out of the way each and every day and let God use us. And the way that you do that is you get instructions from God. And because you believe Him, you trust that He's going to do it. You believe He's going to do it. Because otherwise you wouldn't get out of, be able to get out of the way if you didn't. Since I've preached for so many years, let me just tell you a little secret here. I get up here. I don't have a magic button. Time to get out of the way. Switch. I don't. I can't guarantee I'm going to get out of the way in the first second, the first 5th minute, the 10th minute, the 30th minute. Before I get up, after I get up, I don't have a clue. The getting out of the way part is I have faith in God.
That's right.
That He's given me a gift.
Yes.
That He said, I'll come. I'll talk to you. I'll give the people what they need.
Yes.
And I believe Him.
Right.
I have faith in that.
Yes.
So you know what I do? I offer the temple.
Yes.
And when I'm offering the temple, I'm offering it because I have faith.
Yes.
And I'm serving by that faith.
Yes.
And sure, yeah, I've seen Him do it plenty of times, so my faith's awful increased now. But I'm here to tell you, I don't have some magic button. 5 minutes in, well, had a little fun. Now it's time to turn it on. Hey, how it work is it, Brother Moore? You get up here by faith. You get up here because you believe God called you to get up. You believe He gave a gift to the body, the fivefold ministry. You step out on that word. And you say, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'm willing. Not everybody's called to be a preacher. Put that in place if you're singing. Put that in place if you're testifying. Put that in place in whatever God's called you to do. But it takes faith. There's no magic button for any of us. It's just all of a sudden, so I'm going to get out of the way. You don't even know how to do it other than just believe God and trust Him to show up. Then what happens? He shows up. And then what you do is you stay out of the way. If you don't want to use a note, you don't worry about the note. If He wants to use a note, you don't even know. If He wants to read Scripture, read Scripture. If He doesn't want to read another Scripture, you don't read another Scripture. But I don't have the ability to turn a switch on. All of a sudden say, I'm going to preach now. I'm going to be anointed now. I'm going to be so out of the way now. I can't even control how many amens you're going to give me. I'm here to help you tonight. I ain't got control over your amens. I ain't here. That would be me in the way if I'm trying to just get up here and pump you up. That would be man trying to pump you up. But I believe in letting God move, letting God work, letting God do the work, let God talk. Let God, we're all saying, pass me not. Let Him deal with each and every one of you. And God will quicken something to you. And you won't be able to help but say amen. Whether it's loud, quiet, one way or the other, God will do what He's got to do. But you got to have faith. You serve God by faith. You move by faith. Now I want to bring out a few other points. Because I was thinking about these things. Thought about Moses and Paul today, this week. Now, we'll come back to Hebrews 11 and use Moses. I got to find where it's at in Hebrews 11. Anyhow, I know it's in there. I messed up and forgot to put where it's at, but we'll get back to that. You'll find. Y'all want to know where Moses chose to serve God and suffer the afflictions of the people than to stay with Pharaoh? That's all right, we'll get back to there. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I want to bring out a point to you about serving God. Thank you, Brother Moore. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, I kind of chuckle about that. That's Paul's one page of notes. Well, if I had nothing else, I got Jesus crucified. And he's almost wrote this whole New Testament. That's not getting out of the way. He just let God use him. He wasn't trying to bring his education. For I determined not to know anything save Jesus crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Right. Now, Paul, he was educated, people. I'm just going to give you a little background about Paul. Paul was a scholar in the Jewish religion. His teacher was Gamaliel, great scholar. Historians would tell you the same. Paul knew the Jewish religion. Even his writings said he was chief among them. He was smart. He knew scripture. He knew the law. But you realize if you read Paul, he said, I had to count every bit of it. Dung. In other words, serving God was not altogether about what I could bring him. It wasn't my human abilities. It wasn't my education. It wasn't how smart I was, how good I was, how much I'm studied up. It wasn't that at all. All God wanted from Paul was a willing vessel to say, here am I, Lord, send me. You don't serve God because you got all this human ability and all this skill and you're a great orator. You serve God by getting out of the way and letting God use you. He doesn't need all your goodness. He doesn't need all your strength. He doesn't need all your smarts. He just wants a house to use to talk through and move through. You want to serve God? Don't bring Him your abilities. Just bring Him your temple and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Now, I'm going to bring the other side of that too. We're good with, He doesn't need our goodness. Now, I ain't promoting bad living, but you ain't worried about your badness either. It ain't either or. You might be a bad person. He can't use me. Look how bad I've been. That's not what He's about. He just wants somebody willing to say, here my Lord, send me. I ain't worried about your past. I ain't worried about how bad you've been. I ain't worried about how good you think you are. I just want somebody that loves me and wants to serve me.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
Now guess what? Now later, you recognize God gave you a gift. Maybe it's a gift of music. Maybe it's a gift of this or a gift of that. Or He gave you things to do. You bring that to God. But you don't start coming to God saying, God, I have 20 years of training. Not a negotiation. What God wants is somebody just willing to step out by faith. Here am I, Lord. Send me. That's what Paul had to do. Paul was trained. Paul, if anybody should have been a top Jew, it would have been him. And God said, I don't want none of it. And what did He do to Moses? Moses was trained under Pharaoh.
That's right.
I mean, common sense with a human being would say, if Moses was going to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, the easiest way to do that would be for him to be Pharaoh
there you go.
And set them free.
There you go.
and he's been trained by the smartest of smarts. He can just do it. That's not what God wanted. God wanted a man saying, here am I. Send me. Moses felt a pull. He said, I got to serve God. I got to go help my people. And you know what God did to him? He took all the learning. Took him about 40 years. Got it all out of him. Said, I don't need your learning. I don't need your experience. I don't need what Pharaoh taught you. Here's a little stick. Just go down there and tell him, let my people go.
Amen. That's right.
Now think about Moses. Moses had to trust God.
Right. Yeah.
Going to go to Pharaoh with nothing more than just a stick. I don't mean to disrespect like that, but that's really what it was to human. It was just a rod. Walking down there. There was no great army behind him. There was no great sword he had in his hand. He just had a stick, and God said, I've come down to deliver my people. I have come down. Tom, I am is here. My words will be your words. You talk, Moses, and I'll back it up. How was that Moses going to be able to serve you? Moses couldn't serve God because he was also, well, let me grab my sword. Let me grab my army. Let me do what Pharaoh. He had to trust God, believe God by faith.
Amen.
And what did Moses do? He walked down there, got out of the way, got out of his thinking, said, I can't even look at circumstances. I'm going to go down. And I'm going to do what God wants. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to go ahead and get out of the way. Getting out of the way, as a preacher, sure I do. But I got to get out of the way, serve God, Brother Moore. Because I'll put my thinking on it. I'll put my tradition on it. I wouldn't be a preacher if I allowed my thinking. I would not preach. I know people in this church. I know people out of this church that can speak a lot better than me. Grammar ties a lot better than me. In my tradition, I'm just giving you one example. I would not pick me. I'd pick those people. They could talk a lot better than me. They could orate it a lot better than me.
Amen.
I always give the example. They wouldn't spit and snot so much as me. I'd have a lot of things I'd do different than picking the way I am.
Right.
But that's not what God's about.
Right.
God just wants a willing vessel. God will provide their increase. God will give the gift. God will give thee what you need to get the job done. He just wants you to come and say, here am I, Lord. Send me.
Amen. Oh, okay. That's it.
Yeah. Now, we can say, here, my Lord, send me, and want to be a preacher so bad, and you're not supposed to be a preacher. You're looking for the leading of God. If God wants you to be a preacher, he'll let you know. God wants you to be a singer, he'll let you know. Point I'm just trying to make you, once he's asked you to do something, how you serve him and get out of the way is by faith. You move forward and say, here is my body. Here is my temple. Is I'm just trying to connect to you a little bit what Brother Moore was trying to say Sunday. Here my Lord send me, getting out of the way. We can put our legalism in the way, our traditions in the way, our abilities in the way, what we can or can't do in the way. God can do anything he wants to through anybody he wants to, anytime he wants to.
That's right.
He's God.
Amen.
We're the ones that limit him.
Right.
Because we think he can't do it.
Amen.
He couldn't use somebody like me.
Amen.
I can't get up here. I'm only 12 years old. Jesus was in the temple confounding the wise at 12 years old. You want to talk about serving God? Don't limit God. Just say, here my Lord, send me. Let him use you when you're 12. Let him use you when you're 14. Let him use you when you're 30. Let him use you when you're 70. That's what all God's ever wanted to do is get in human skin and move and breathe and act and live through human beings.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
You can sit there. Because I've done it. You can. See, I use 14 a lot because that's when I felt like I started listening to God. But 14 is just a number of people. 15. I'll use 15. I'm going to throw a curveball. Be there 15. And you can sit out there and the devil can tell you, yeah, go ahead and let your elders get up. And you don't have that much to say. You ain't even got that deep revelation. Yeah. You don't sing as good so-and-so. You've never even sing a song, and you know if you get up there and sing a song, you're going to probably be nervous. And if you get up there and mess up, they're probably going to laugh at you. That's just all devil's lies, traditions, dogmas, a lie from the devil. I have seen it time after time. Let somebody get up that can't sing and sing. Let somebody get up and testify that you didn't think could testify because you know they're shy. let a young person get up that never got up before and surprise us all.
Amen.
When God leads that person, they do that. That will send such an anointing across this body. It'll bless the entire body. And before you know that, Holy Spirit, as we use that saying, jump from one person to another person to another person. And then we have church like we've never had church before. All because somebody said, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to overcome the thinking and the creeds and the dogmas because I love God and He told me I can do it and I'm stepping out by faith and I'm going to do what He asked me to do.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
You know, I use this example a lot and laugh about it, but if you touch me on the wrong side, I'll get you. I wrote poems when I was a teenager. And I can look about, I can laugh at that and say, that ain't nothing. But you know what? God said, do it. Across the pulpit. He said it could be just as simple as writing a poem. And you know what? Here I am a teenager. I'm going to tell you, it was an odd thing to do. Let's be real. 14-year-old male writing a poem. I'll ride in the car with you for a minute, but I'll get off real quick if you touch it wrong. Because God dealt with me. And I was serving God. I had something to say. God was dealing with me. He gave me a revelation. I loved Him. I wanted to serve Him. So I overcame all that tradition and what people were going to think about me and said, here, my Lord, send me. And I'm not goody two-shoes. I'm just trying to give you an example. Don't worry about what the devil thinks. You do what God, you worry about what God thinks. Do what God says do. And it'll be a blessing. And what will end up happening, it'll bless you, but it'll bless the entire body. It'll edify the entire body. You say, the thing's talking about serving God, getting out of the way. How do you do it? You let Him deal with you. Let Him teach you. Let Him preach to you. And then you give back to Him and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. That's how it works. Just because I said I'm going to read, I'm going to go back and read it real quick. Hebrews 11. We talked about Moses. Hebrews 11, 23, by faith. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment, by faith Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose to. God didn't make him. Moses chose to drop all his riches. And I ain't putting, 20 years ago, I had to preach a legalist message. I'll be like Moses, just drop everything. And this ain't legalistic. I'm talking about a pure relationship with God. You want to just serve God. Maybe your story ain't Moses' story, but you know your story. You're dropping your ideal, whatever your thing is, and saying, this day, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. But it's not what you can bring anyhow. Don't let the devil lie to you. Amen. It's just getting out of the way and letting God use you. You believe God by faith because He taught it to you and He quickened His word to you, and then you move out on it. Now, I want to bring out another point. One more point, a couple scriptures, and we'll get out of the way here. I want to go over to Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians 5, verse 5 and 6. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You serve God because you love God. That's how it works. Not because you have to. Not because you're afraid to break a code of rules and you're going to get sent to hell. You serve Him because you love God. Amen. That's how it works. It's not because, and I'm going to go over to, John brought up, finish Corinthians 12 and go into 13. We're going to talk about that for a minute. Because if you can do all these things, you can have all these great gifts. You can be the greatest orator. You can heal the sick. You can do all this great stuff. But without love, without charity, It accomplishes nothing.
Amen.
So, talking about serving God, you serve Him because you love Him, because you want to. God will never make you do anything. If you're going to get out of the way, if you're going to give a testimony, if you're going to get up here, you're going to do it because you love God and want to do it and you want to serve Him.
Right.
If you're going to do anything for God, go out to the world and testify or whatever. You do it because He's dealt with you, have a personal relationship with Him, and you love Him, so you serve Him.
Amen.
I ain't doing it just because Brother Moore wants me to. That only lasts so long. I ain't doing it because Mom and Dad told me to.
Amen.
You might get up once or twice off Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad's preaching to you at home. But we'll know one day it'll show if it's real. Because that'll end. You'll do it for a little while because Mom and Dad told you to. I'm looking for you to do it when Mom and Dad don't ask you to. I'm looking for you to do it when Pastor doesn't ask you to. I'm looking for you to do it just out of the blue. Because there's something happening between you and God. And you love God and you want to serve God. And you say, I want to do this for you no matter whether Brother Moore even asked me to do it. This ain't a show. This ain't about what people are going to think. I just want to do it because I love God.
Amen.
I keep saying it because I just thought about my notes this week. This ain't deep notes, people. It's just simple stuff. You serve God out of love. Not out of fear. Not to be acknowledged. Not to be praised. Not to be told you did a good job. You do it because He's dealt with you one-on-one and you love Him and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. That's how it works. Now, let me get over that 1 Corinthians 12th chapter and just read that a little bit to you. Let Paul preach to you for a minute. Towards the end here. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You know what Paul's getting ready to go through here? Not all are apostles, not all are preachers. Not all are supposed to be preachers. Not all are supposed to be song leaders. Not all are supposed to be whatever. But you are a member in particular. Serving God, you want to say, Lord, I want to do my part. I'm going to be part of the body. And you will naturally do that. But the point is you are a member in particular.
Amen.
And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But listen to what it says. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity endeth not. Charity bondeth not itself and is not puffed up. On and on. I'll leave the rest for somebody else if they want to use it. Point I'm trying to say, we serve God out of love. You can burn your body. You can bring all kinds of pretty sacrifices. You can do all these things with your self-ability. But if you don't got love, it ain't profiting you nothing. Faith worketh by love. I have a quote up here. Brother Branham said, you got to have love to even get faith. Because love is what makes faith work. It makes you believe it. You love God. So if you do these things and you don't love God, you're just doing it and wasting your time. You serve Him because you love Him. I want to read a quote here. Brother Branham and Why Christ Speak. Moses, with his great faith again, could say no to the present things of the present world and make a righteous choice. He chose to suffer the afflictions with the people of God. He chose to go with it. Why? His faith. He saw the promise. He saw the end time. He saw over into tomorrow. And he let his faith loose, and he didn't pay attention to what his eyes saw and the possibilities here, that he was the Pharaoh and was going to be Pharaoh. He looked plumb over into tomorrow. Oh, if people could do that, didn't see this present world. If you look at the present world, you'll make a choice with it. Hide your eyes from that and look at the promise of God way over in tomorrow. And by his faith, now listen to this, by his faith, he could choose. He did choose to be called the son of Abraham and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. by his faith. That's the point I bring that in, is I told you, serve God by faith. If you don't believe God, you won't choose to serve God. How can you even, why would you choose to do what God asks you if you don't believe he's real? Well, Brother Branham's trying to say, you choose, but you choose because you believe. And he said, faith works by love. And so, last thing I want to do, I had these, I think it's 10 things here I wrote down during the week. And these are not necessarily in any particular order, because of course the first one is, but just some things I thought. First one, I said, repent, confess, be clean. In other words, get a new birth. Two, serve by faith. And faith works by love. Three, come to church and get instructions and more faith. Number four, serve out of love. Number five, it's not your abilities, but getting out of the way so that God can use you. Six, God's gifts always find their places. That's another piece of this thing sometimes. You want to be something, just let God's gift find its place. Number seven, you will die daily. That's part of it. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. Number eight, don't just be a hearer, be a doer. That's James, the first chapter. Because don't be a hearer, only be a doer of the word. That's how you're going to serve him. Amen. Number nine, turn quickly to the word. That was number eight was turn quickly to the word, or nine. Number nine, praise and worship God. And then the last thing I said, enjoy this walk. This really is the best walk. Is there bitter in the belly moments? Sure there are. Are there trials? Or are there things that's hard on the flesh? Sure there is. But this walk is so much more enjoyable than not this walk. Do those things. Serve God with all your heart. Move by faith. Love God. Serve God. Enjoy this thing. Worship Him and praise Him. Amen. And you will have many blessings in this world and the world to come. You serve God, just trust Him, believe Him, get on out of the way, and you'll be amazed at what He can do. God bless you. Come on, Pastor Warren. Amen.
Very good advice. Everybody in here can serve God. And those nine things that he said, if you put them into work in your life, you'll produce something. You know, I was looking over there in Hebrews, and the thing that I love about serving God is in Hebrews, where you're reading 11, everything was done by faith. I mean, it was, if you read down through there, by faith, by faith, by faith, that means they first had to hear the word, because faith comes by hearing. So they didn't just believe God. They actually had God speak to them. And when God speaks to you, then you can have faith in what God said, and then from that faith, then comes the action. I was even looking down through there, you know, because we're given Moses praise, and nobody really pays attention to where you read. It wasn't even Moses' faith that saved him to start with. His parents had faith. It was by faith, because it says, by faith Moses. Well, it was by faith when Moses, when he was a child, was taken by his parents. So it wasn't Moses' faith that was even doing the work. It was his parents. And so anytime you move, anytime there's a manifestation, it's done by faith. You live by faith. You walk by faith. And all of it's done. And you can't have faith unless it's preached. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You can't just watch the news and get faith. You got to have the word of God. It's got to be preached to you. You got to have a church. You got to come somewhere where a man of God who has a gift of God can minister to you and give you the understanding. Because what happens is the minister ministers to you and you believe in what the minister is saying, and then it becomes faith in your life. And then from that faith comes the action. See, people want the action without the faith. That's why they go through a lot of the the forms and fashions, and they go through the motions of serving God. And that's what he said in Corinthians 13 and Corinthians 12. It says you can do all these things, but without charity. And charity is God. Charity is love. And see, God hides these words. Charity is love, and God is love. So without God, you can give all you have. You can do all you want. But without God, it's done in vain. So having faith is most critical. Having faith in the Word of God is critical to your even manifesting what God wants. You can't even manifest what God wants until you first have it preached. And when you have it preached, then that word works within you. And then it's mixed with faith. That word gets mixed with faith. And that faith is in the Word, and the Word says, I can, so then I can. That's how it works. How are we going to get a body change? By faith. How do you get healing? By faith. How do you get salvation? By faith. Faith is everything. Faith isn't just salvation. Faith is everything. And so when you hear the Word of God and you have faith in that Word, then that Word in you becomes one, and then it starts doing things to you. Like Beth said, and see what she's saying, and what people don't understand, Beth said, you know, I love where I didn't love. Well, that ain't a work that somebody's made her do. And nobody would even know that she didn't love. But she knew. And because the Word's gotten in there, she's like, hey, there's a change. See, that's what the Word does. I don't have to force you to change. When you take the Word in and mix it with faith, it starts manifesting itself out through you with every heartbeat. And you're not forced, you're not made, you're not put over an ultimatum and do this or else. No, it just changes your life with every heartbeat, with every move you make. You find yourself, things that you didn't do, you find yourself doing. Things that you do, you find yourself stopping. And it's because you're hearing the Word, and the Word mixes with the faith that's in you. That's how the body change is going to happen. It's going to happen because we preach on it, till one day we're going to sit here and it's just going to sink down to a level that we've never had before. And we're going to say, my goodness, do you realize, like Brother Spivey said, do you realize we'll wake up one day and realize we don't have to be here? Do you know we're here because we haven't realized that yet? One of these days, though. That faith will be just as real as every other thing that's ever come to pass in your life. Amen. Come on, musicians. I enjoyed you, brothers. Amen. It's good to have Skyler letting us see that, hey, this is short. This isn't the most you got is a little bit of time. And if you don't move now and move for God now, you'll never do it. Let's see here. Page 24, Living by Faith. Now, Dwayne, are we having a baptism Sunday? Okay. I like to announce it. The reason I like to announce it is because there might be other people out here who's considering it, and we don't keep water in the baptistry because we like it fresh and cold. No, we like it fresh. It's just automatically cold. But the Bible says to repent. That's what we talked about Sunday and what Jeremiah talked about tonight. You got to first repent. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I'm a sinner. I believe your word, and your word tells me to repent. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry that I can't do this, and I'm thankful that you can for me. The next step after repentance is be baptized. And when you're baptized, it's an outward showing of an inward work. That means, God, you're dealing with my heart, and I want to identify with it. So that's what the baptism is for. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's only one name to be baptized in, not Trinity, not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's not, those are titles, not names. You don't get sprinkled. John and everybody after John the Baptist baptized, put you underwater. So Sunday we're going to have that. And the promise also says, after you repent and be baptized, ye shall receive. Amen. Amen. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You do your part and he'll definitely keep his. Amen. So Sunday at the end of service, before we go to our meal, because we're going to have dinner here. You all invited to come back and service, and we're going to have dinner outside if it's nice, if it's not inside. But between the spiritual meal and the natural meal, we'll have a water baptism. And if you've never repented, you can do it tonight. It just means turn around. And don't wait till you're old. Do it. The Bible tells you to serve your Creator in your youth, in the days of your youth. While you're young, do it. Because God wants to, he wants to actually use you. He don't want to use no offense, old men. But he wants to use you while you're young. You know, old men dreams. They do things. They have parts to play. But he wants youth. He wants somebody that's young that can go and can do. And when I go to the gym and I see those young people working out, it looks a lot different than when the old people are working out. They'll twist themselves and turn around and they'll do all kind of things. And because they're young, pliable. Old people get down, can't get up. I'm speaking from experience. But God wants you to serve him while you're young. He wants you to present your body a living sacrifice. Why does he want your body? Because he wants to move through you. He wants to do things through you. So if you have not been baptized and you would like to be baptized Sunday, we're going to have a baptism at the end of service. So you're more than welcome to participate. Bring some clothes. We'll baptize you and wait for God to fill you, because that'll be the next step. Amen. Don't forget the announcements that were brought forth. I don't know what they were, but I'm sure you all do. Keep those in mind. And Sunday, don't forget, no Sunday night service. We'll have Sunday morning. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, as shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worries in vain. For I am living by faith in my Jesus above. I am trusting to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er, and the Master so gently will lead us away beyond the heavenly shore. And I am living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in his great love. From a harm safe in his sheltering arms, I am living by faith. I am living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting to find in his great love. From all hearts,
And I feel no alarm.
Here it is, Smith.